Would you turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 11? John chapter 11. This Easter Sunday morning, we are rejoicing in the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead and lives today, and it is something we ought never tire of hearing, something that we ought never tire of praising God for. And you know, God wants us to rejoice in that truth that Jesus lives. One of the reasons He wants us to rejoice in that truth is so that we will always be growing in our faith in Christ. We are to never stop believing. We begin believing in Christ when you put your faith in Christ, but that's just the beginning of your faith, just the beginning of your growing faith in Christ, and that's what God wants, partly for our celebration today, and when we come to the Word and see what we're going to see this morning, He wants our faith to be strengthened. He wants us to be growing in Christ, in our walk with Him, strengthened in our hope for today. Jesus is working to strengthen the faith of Martha and Mary. As we come to the text today, we're going to look beginning at verse 17. We actually looked at verses 17 through 22 last week, that Jesus, God the Son, is seen in this passage going about the Father's work. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week, but where we pick up is a very fitting place for us this Easter Sunday. Jesus is working. He is about the Father's work, as we'll see here, to strengthen the faith of Martha and Mary and those around them seen in this passage, and those people who would be there to experience Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, or those who would hear the testimony of those who had witnessed it. Jesus is about the Father's work, strengthening the faith of those whose faith is in Him. And when we come to this text, we need to realize also that this is here for our sake. This is here to strengthen our faith, to grow our trust in the Lord. I wonder, are you trusting in Jesus today? Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in Him as Lord and Savior? God wants your faith to be strong if your faith is in Christ. He wants your faith to be growing and being strengthened all the time. So as we return to John 11 this morning, let's look for ways that God is working to grow our faith, where the Lord Jesus Christ is going about the Father's business to grow these people's faith and our faith. And again, we'll start reading at verse 17 for the sake of context, picking up where we started last week. And then we'll take a closer look at verses 23 through 27. But John 11, verse 17, follow along as I read from the English Standard Version, which says, "Now when Jesus came, He found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met Him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' And Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to Him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' And verse 25 says, Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die.' Do you believe this?" She said to Him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." What wonderful truths we see in this passage. Last week, here we noted the faith of Martha. I think she had great faith. I think her faith was strong and growing. But I think also we can see here that her faith needed to continue to grow. She hadn't arrived at a fully mature faith. Now, I would suggest that none of us this side of heaven are ever going to be fully mature in our faith. There's always going to be room for us to grow in our faith. And that was certainly true for Martha this day when Jesus meets her and speaks with her. I think she had a strong faith. She had faith that Jesus could ask anything from God. You just heard me read it. That Jesus could ask anything of God the Father and He would have it. So that she had faith in. But then she also says this in verse 21, Lord, if you had been here. Interesting statement. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Well, she had faith, but it seems she was forgetting a couple of facts. First, Jesus didn't need to be there to keep Lazarus from dying. Jesus didn't need to be there. He's proved that already. He's shown that to be so already. About how gracious Jesus is with Martha. Secondly, she was forgetting that He could do something even now. It wasn't too late for Lazarus, even though he was in the grave. And so, as we pick up at verse 23, look at verse 23 again, we see how graciously and patiently Jesus is and how He seeks to increase Martha's faith. Jesus simply points Martha in the right direction. There's no rebuke here. I think this is an encouraging thing to see Jesus and how He interacts with Martha. There's no rebuke here saying, how could you not have more faith in me? He didn't say that. There's no rebuke here for not having more faith. He says in verse 23, look at it, your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. Martha, your brother will rise again. And what does she think? Interesting. I suppose she's thinking probably what we would have thought if Jesus had said that to us that day in that same situation. She thinks Jesus means on that day when all who trust in Christ shall rise, when they receive glorified bodies. And she says in verse 24, I know that He will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. There's another glimpse here for us of the state of Martha's faith. Hers is a faith that speaks of what will be. You have faith like that? You think of what will be. It's good to have that assurance in future things, to know God's Word, to have that confidence in what will be in the future. Do we say we have faith and we say, oh, I know God will work, and I know God will do great things, and I know and I look forward to that day. Maybe we say, I look forward to that day when we will see Christ. Martha's faith, we can see here, was something like that. She had faith for what would be. And she's not wrong to have that faith, and you aren't either, to have faith in God over what will be one day. She is right. It's just as we hear in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 when it says, For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Is that your eternal hope? You look forward to that day, and you know that when you die, you'll go to be in glory, you'll go to be with your Savior in heaven, but then there'll be this day when you'll have a resurrected body, a glorified body. And so again, we think of the faith of Martha, and it was one that was a future hope. It's not wrong to have a future hope. Oh, it's good. Let me encourage you to have a future hope, to rest on the promises of God's Word for your eternal security in Christ if your faith is in Christ. It is not wrong to have that future hope. But what did that future hope do for her in that day? You see, God intends for the future hope that we have, the faith that we have in God for things future, to actually strengthen our faith for today. What was Martha's present hope? How was her future hope strengthening her present faith? She didn't seem to have much of a present faith. Did she? What about now? Well, she either didn't understand or she didn't have faith that Jesus could bring about the resurrection of Lazarus on that day. And so again, Jesus graciously speaks these powerful and wonderful truths to help Martha grow in her faith and mature in her faith so that she has present hope, so that her faith is strengthened for today. You know, that's where God wants your faith. He wants your faith strengthened for today, not only for tomorrow, not only for the future, but in this day. And so Jesus says to her, looking at verses 25 and 26 again, I am, note that, verse 25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And on this Resurrection Sunday, we ought to praise God for statements like that from God's Word that remind us of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for all who put their faith and trust in Him by conquering the grave, by rising from the dead. I am, says Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone, says verse 26, who lives and believes in me shall never die. That is a powerful truth. It is the truth that we are celebrating today, this Easter Sunday. It's the profound and powerful truth that Jesus is. Jesus says, I am. He is the resurrection and the life. Note that. Martha needed to know more about Jesus, didn't she? She needed to have her faith strengthened in who Jesus was, what he had come to accomplish. She didn't fully understand yet, but she was getting there. She needed to know more about Jesus. And so Jesus says to her, not that he can bring about resurrection, not that he can bring about resurrection and life. No, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. There is life in none other than Jesus Christ. It's why we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, when he says, I am the resurrection and the life, in other words, if you have faith in Christ, you have life. You have life eternal. If you believe in Jesus, you have life. And that resurrection from the dead and life in Christ is yours. That life eternal, life everlasting is yours. Because through faith in Jesus, your sins have been washed away. Your sins have been forgiven through faith in Christ. He paid the debt that you could not pay for your sins. And that resurrection and life in Christ isn't only a future hope. It's a present reality. Do you realize that? We often look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and say, oh, because of Christ, I'll see Him one day. I'll be with Him in glory one day. And that is a future hope and a future promise that's yours. But do you realize it's also a present reality? Your eternal life begins the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He gives you eternal life. It's a gift given to you, one that you do not deserve, but because He paid the price for your sins on the cross, it's yours, and you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And He secures your eternal destiny. And you must face the fact, yes, that your body will one day die, but your life in Christ is eternal. This is also true for those who reject Jesus. This is a sobering truth when we think of the resurrection of Christ. He did not remain in the grave. He rose from the dead, and he did so so that those who are sinners, and that's everyone in the world who are sinners, and those who put their faith and trust in him would be forgiven their sins. He went to the cross, and he rose from the grave to conquer death and sin and hell and the grave. And yet there's a powerful reminder there that those who reject Jesus, people who refuse to believe in Jesus, they also have an eternal life. We don't think of that often, do we? We don't like to think of that, especially on Resurrection Sunday when we're thinking of Jesus and his resurrection from the dead. But there's also an eternal life for those who reject Jesus. There will be a true hell and an eternal separation for those who reject faith in Jesus Christ. And so this Resurrection Sunday, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, this would be a wonderful day for you to put your faith and trust in Jesus and put your hope in him. Jesus died and rose from the grave, and in so doing conquered the grave and death and hell, and now he lives. What wonderful truth! Don't reject that truth. And believer, be encouraged in your faith and strengthened for the here and now, for today, to live for Christ today because of that wonderful truth. He lives, and all who put their faith in Jesus will also enjoy the same victory in Christ over the grave, over death, over sin and hell. And he lives today so that those who put their trust in him can now, with his help and with the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, might say no to temptation and sin. We can't do that without Christ in us. And now that power is ours with Christ. And that's a wonderful present hope to strengthen our present faith. And Jesus says in verses 25 and 26, whoever believes in me, though he die, though his body die, though he die physically, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. What a wonderful and powerful truth for us today, this Resurrection Sunday. So those who are believers in Jesus don't pass from this life to death. They pass from this life to life eternal. That sounds confusing, doesn't it? When Jesus says, and you go back to verses 25 and 26, when Jesus says, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, that sounds confusing, but it is a powerful truth of God's word that yes, though our bodies face death, we face an eternal hope with our faith in Christ, knowing that though our bodies face death, we our souls go to his presence immediately, and then there'll be a resurrection day for our glorified bodies. Believers in Jesus, though their body dies, they pass from life on earth in Christ to life eternal with Christ. What a wonderful truth is ours to rejoice in today. And I want you to note the key to all these things. Note the key to these wonderful truths that are ours. What's the key? What's the key to all these truths? It's Jesus Christ. The key is Jesus himself. It's his finished work on the cross. All proved to be true. All these truths proved to be true by his resurrection from the dead. The work is all of Jesus. Do you realize that? Jesus doesn't call you to do some kind of work to earn your salvation. He simply calls on you to put your faith and trust in him. The work is none of you, none of me. It's all of him. And he is gracious to forgive your sin when you trust in him. And he saves. And the keeping work is also his. He keeps you saved. You don't have to work to keep your salvation. If your faith is in Christ, you are kept by Christ. Oh, he calls you to be obedient, and that is something you ought to long to do and want to do, to give him glory with your life every day. But it's not your obedience that keeps you saved. It's Jesus and his finished work at Calvary and the fact that he rose from the dead for your justification to be made right in God's eyes. What wonderful words Jesus spoke to Martha that day. And oh, these are powerful truths that were not only meant for Martha's sake, but these are truths meant to speak to your heart today. Whenever you open the Bible, I need to encourage you to remember this. Yes, there were words that were written, and often in these letters in the New Testament, written to a people, to a church, and yet God has intended for these to be in his word and for therefore the church today, therefore your encouragement today. And so as you look at God's word today, take to heart these wonderful words that Jesus spoke to Martha that day, because they are here to strengthen your faith in Christ day by day. These are truths meant to speak to your heart today, to grow your present faith, your hope for right now as you walk with Christ. Just as this was meant to strengthen Martha's faith on that day, it's meant for our faith today. I thank God for his word, do you? I praise him for his word that's intended to strengthen our faith so that we have hope, even in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of what sometimes is a culture that's very troubling and opposes the truth of God's word. We got to be the most joyful people on earth with our eyes fixed on Jesus, because we have an eternal hope and a present hope that's based in the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and conquered the grave and sin and death and hell. This was for the strengthening of Martha's faith. So Jesus asks her a question. Look at the question in verse 26. Look at it. And this question is for you today also. Jesus asks Martha, "Do you believe this?" You know, it's a powerful opportunity that you have when you have the Scriptures. And you have an opportunity to witness to an unbeliever. And you read the Scriptures to them, or you recite a truth from God's Word to them about Jesus Christ. And you can ask a simple question to encourage someone to put their faith in Christ. It's, "Do you believe this?" You can't make people believe, but you can pray and ask God by the work of the Holy Spirit to open their eyes, to see who Jesus is and believe. You can share the gospel. And this is a wonderful question Jesus asks Martha. "Do you believe this?" God's word asks you today, "Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe what the Bible teaches about Jesus?" You're here this Easter Sunday, but do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead so that you might know new life in Christ, forgiveness of sins? Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day so that you could be justified before God in a righteousness not your own, but a righteousness that is Christ's applied to your account? Look at verse 27 in Martha's reply. This woman of growing faith makes a powerful declaration of truth about Jesus. Look at it, verse 27. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." And note the declarations of faith here from Martha. And look at how her statements point to the present hope she now has. She, in this moment, with Jesus encouraging her, in this moment, her faith is increasing. And it's wonderful to see this and to know that that's possible with us today. It's possible that today you could leave this place with more faith in Christ than you came with. And that's what God intends for us each time we gather, in fact. It's why we keep gathering every Sunday, to proclaim the truths of Scriptures into the hearts of people, into the minds of people, so that we will be strengthened and encouraged in our faith, so that we will leave stronger in our faith each time we gather, stronger than we came. So first she says, "Yes, Lord, I believe." She may not fully grasp what's coming next, And we're going to see the account of Lazarus' resurrection next time, Lord willing. But now in her mind and in her growing faith, she's not limiting what Jesus can do. And in the original language in which this book of the Bible was written, her statement of belief indicates a faith that's it's present and it's permanent. It's a statement like, I have believed. I am believing. Martha's not thinking anymore about what could have been. Jesus has encouraged her, and her faith is being strengthened even in the moment. And she's no longer stuck thinking that God can do it if only Jesus would ask. And I know God will give you whatever you ask. And she's not only thinking about what will be in the future. I know that there will be a resurrection. She's not only thinking that now. Hers is no empty, uninformed faith. Martha shows her present strength in Christ, her present strength of faith and hope when she says, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. In other words, what she is saying is that I believe you're the Messiah. I believe you're the long-awaited one. I believe you're the Messiah. And indeed, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is God incarnate, God in human flesh. And she's saying here, in effect, you, Jesus, are the long-awaited deliverer, the one who's to deliver us from the captivity of our sin. Her faith is growing. And that's where God wants your faith today. Is your faith growing? When you read the Scriptures, when you gather with God's people to worship, you find your faith strengthened and encouraged. That is God's intent. When you go to God in prayer and trust Him with your life and the things that challenge you or discourage you or trouble you and ask for His help, do you walk away from a time of prayer with the Lord with your faith strengthened? That's what God intends. Her faith is growing. Do you have faith that's growing? Do you have faith in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His Word, in His promises? Or might I ask you this, do you think you have all the faith you need? And likely for most of us, if we were honest, we would say, I don't think I've got all the faith I need yet. And I think that's true for all of us. We don't all have all the faith we need yet. There's still room for us to grow in our faith in Christ. And I would suggest that you ought to be careful that you don't presume that you've arrived in your faith to the point that you don't need to be strengthened in your faith anymore. You're always going to need to be strengthened in your faith this side of heaven. So remember this for your own sake. Walking with Jesus isn't about living in perfection. It's about growing in faith. It's about living by faith. You know, sometimes we can be guilty, Christians can be guilty of trying to perform for God, trying to be obedient for God. And yes, He wants us to long to honor Him with our obedience. But He's not about us living a life of perfection. He's about us living a life of faith in Him day by day, taking little steps of obedience along the way, growing in our faith, and living by faith in Christ. Faith not only in what God could have done or will do in the future, but a growing faith in what He will do in your life today when you trust in Him and you walk in obedience to His Word. And what He will do tomorrow when you trust Him then. And what He will do the next day when you trust Him then. If you're a believer in Jesus, remember that you're a saved sinner and you're still fighting sin. Are you a saint in perfection? You know, the Bible calls believers in Christ saints, but are you a saint in perfection? No, you're not perfect yet, neither am I. Are you a saint in Jesus Christ? Yes, you are. It's because of Christ and what he finished on the cross and how he rose from the dead on the third day that you're a saint in Christ if your faith is in him, because God has justified you through your faith in Christ, applying Christ's righteousness to your account, as undeserving as you are, giving the righteousness of Christ to you, and now he indwells you if your faith is in Christ so that you can say no to sin and temptation with his help. Before God, you are declared righteous because of Christ. And look to your resurrected Savior today, believers. Take great joy and confidence in having your faith strengthened as you look to your risen Savior today. And grow and strengthen your faith by the work of his Spirit in you with his Word. Turn to the Word. Turn to God in prayer. Keep putting yourself under the teaching and preaching of the Word so that by God's Spirit, with his Word, your faith will be strengthened day by day. And if you're not a believer in Jesus, oh, I invite you this Resurrection Sunday, I invite you to trust in him today. You know, you can express your faith in Christ to God in prayer right in this moment, in the quietness of your own heart. And I encourage you to do that. If you're not a believer in Jesus, believe in him today. Thank God for the work Jesus Christ has finished on the cross for sinners, and tell him you do want your sins forgiven and you trust in Jesus Christ, and he will forgive your sins and he will save you and make you his own for all eternity. Praise God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our living hope. For we can say, as we heard this morning with 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead."